Welcome to the Spirituality of Strength Training with your host, Anna Willard. This podcast is dedicated to bring you knowledge, wisdom, inspiration, and guidance to wherever you may be on your health journey. For those who are new to me, I am a kettlebell strength coach, a movement nerd ninja, and an empowerment coach on a mission to bring you hope through our health. The root word of health comes from wholeness. The root word of wholeness comes from holy. Despite our differences with religion and spiritual beliefs, we are all human beings with a body that is designed to reflect this holiness through our health. It wasn't until my 7th year as a health profession where I went into a deep awakening of understanding what does it mean to train my spirit and to heal my spirit through the physical. You'll hear a little bit more about my story from other health professionals, from strength coaches, psychiatrists, spiritual gurus and leaders, to other people who talk about the importance of our health as a community body and the health of our planet as well. This podcast is to allow us to step into our whole health, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Thank you for being here. If you love what you hear, I encourage you to subscribe. If you want more inspiration and quotes from these podcasts, I encourage you to follow me on Instagram at @Anna_Willard_. I encourage you to do a little bit of a movement, either yoga flow, go for a walk, sit in nature, as you enjoy this episode. Hello, strong ones. How are you guys? It is November 4th. It's Monday night. I am recording this intro for this episode, which is a week late. Yes, I am late for this. And there's an important reason behind this. So I'm going to explain the reason first of why this episode is a week late and a day late before I intro this episode, because it's a very special episode. So this episode we did live with a group of women, and we had an amazing conversation. So I invited some of my colleagues over who all have been on the show already, and we did a Facebook Live and an Instagram Live interview. So I had those two platforms up and running. So if you have heard and seen this episode, you know how good it is. But after the interview, I realized, I'm like, wow, that takes a lot of energy. And that's a lot of technology in front of my face. I mean, I had my Zoom camera going for recording the audio. I had the Facebook Live going. I had the Instagram. And then I have my Diva Light. And then I'm hosting and holding that space for three other women. And we're holding that space for each other as well. But after that day, I realized, I was like, I got to get in nature. I got to get back and ground myself. And then the rest of the week, I was like, I got to continue to ground myself, really ground myself, just so I can still be present for the in-person clients that I have and also for the online clients that I have, just so that I could be there. And I kind of went quiet on social media too, just because I was so overstimulated. Lately, I've been saying I feel very staticky, and a lot of people are like, what does that mean? I even saw my psychiatrist today, and she's like, how are you doing? I go, I just feel static, very static. And I was like, the only way I can say that is I need to make sure I have a little bit more balance with the technology that is in our life and being in nature and really making sure I ground myself. If you guys follow me on social media, you probably know how much I love being by the ocean, and I haven't been. And so that's one of the things where I'm really like evaluating my own life, or just making sure there's that good life balance, so I'm able to continue to do things that I love, like this podcast, for you. And going into that with this episode is all about this concept and themed still of forgiveness, even though we're in November. The October theme is trickling into November, which is good because we have the holidays and it's good to have that open mindset going into holiday stuff with family gatherings. So the balance is important because of making sure you give yourself that time so that you can be present and work through things on your own in a way that frees you up to see the present moment with family and friends for the holidays. With that said, this episode is juicy. It is so good. There's so much wisdom in this episode. We had Betsy, who's the founder of the Live Well Round Yoga Therapy Balls, and special code if you want to get those in the show notes down below. And then we had Rita Johnson, who is a somatic Reiki healer. She is incredible knowledge. And then we also have Stacy. Stacy is just has tons of insight. I was just kind of like awe-dropped with all the words that she was bringing to the conversation just because she brought so many great topics. And these women just brought a lot of different perspective about forgiveness, about anger, about clarity around anger, the different types of anger, and the process of and the journey of forgiveness and how that relates to our physicality within our body. So what you will get out of this episode is, again, tools on forgiveness, the importance of clarity around forgiveness, grief, grace, and the balance between the two. Anger, you guys have heard me talk about breaking stuff. We talk about that on the show. And how we hold pain in the body and how to release it. So there's so much more. I hope you enjoy it. I really enjoyed re-listening to the episode. I probably did it a little too soon. I re-listened to it the same day we had the conversation. I think that's what threw me off. I was like, whoa, this is a lot. So anyway, this episode, I apologize for it being a week late, but with me being late with this show, I just hope it gives you a good reminder to find time in nature, to go in for a walk, you know, get that skin to nature contact with either bare feet or bare hands, with gardening or walking barefoot on the beach, whatever it may be. That grounding really physically resets our central nervous system to from that anxiety aspect to that rest and de-digest. Maybe I'll do an episode about that. Okay, enough of me talking. I hope you enjoy this episode, and we're getting close to the holidays, so there'll be more good stuff about how to manage our health during the holidays. All right, enjoy the show, guys.
Well, thank you, everyone. If you are listening, here we have three other guests with me today who have all been on the show. We'll just let you go around and introduce yourself, tell us what you do, and then we'll dive into the concept and the theme about fall fitness and forgiveness. Rita, you want to start?
Sure. Rita Johnston, a professional certified life coach and trauma-informed wellness practitioner. So I work with people around learning how to love themselves, learning how to take care of themselves and healing trauma and moving forward.
I'm Betsy. I am the founder of Well Round. It's a self-massage system, and it's a guided mobile app partnered with some therapy balls that are made specifically for our tissues. So get in there and relieve all those places of tension and holding and discomfort that can accumulate from a number of things. And of course, we'll be talking about the importance of forgiveness and that intersection today. So I'm
excited to be here. Thank you. I guess I'll introduce myself too. Yeah. So most of you guys know me. My name's Anna Willard. I'm a kettlebell coach, a movement nerd on a mission to bring you hope through our health. I'm mainly working with getting clients to their body and breath with the tool to kettlebell.
Awesome. So then we have Stacy. Hey, I'm Stacy Sorgen.
I am an integrative wellness coach. I'm a personal trainer, the owner of Stacey Sorgen Coaching and Mod Body Fitness, a local gym in Seattle. And my whole goal is to help people find the strength to be themselves. Be yourself.
Awesome. So this is, we have one other episode that's going to be talking about forgiveness that will come out next Sunday. But what, one of the things I've been asking more this time around is how do you define forgiveness?
How do you define forgiveness? Being able to move forward doesn't mean that you've forgotten, but you've not held on to it. You've not allowed it to stop who you are or live in your body or any of those things that forgiveness can do or can be.
Anyone else? The things that came to me are like acknowledgement, education, and grace. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's difficult for us to let go unless we've acknowledged it, mm-hmm. thanked it, let it move on, grew from it, and just had some grace around maybe that was a mistake, maybe that was, you know, maybe it was something I had to do in order to grow. Mm-hmm.
Love that. I mean, I feel like all of these use slightly different words to embody what you've already said, but to feel it and digest it and then to release it so that you can be free and like ultimately who you are whole without that piece being deducted.
I love how you brought up grace. And I don't think grace is really spoken enough about within this concept of forgiveness. I think a lot of times we focus on, at least the conversations that I have had, we focus on anger and this grieving process. Mm-hmm. But grace and joy, I think, are like the result of it or the benefit that we get from it. Do you guys have anything to add about grace and joy through this process of forgiveness?
More of a liberation to our natural state. And our natural state is full of grace and joy.
Think about forgiveness in like personal context, things that I've had to work through forgiveness on.
Yeah.
And thinking about forgiveness that clients have gone through. And I think that through it, there does tend to be grace for what happened and what
happened. How do you guys define grace?
Well, previous to this, of that same topic kind of ties into what I think grace is. I think that some of the heaviest things that we can carry as people is judgment, grudges, the shoulda, woulda, couldas, like all that stuff. And I think that that can be tied in to judgment around other people or judgment about ourselves. And grace is allowing ourselves to like let it go. Mm-hmm. So like let it go and still love ourselves through that process. And they have faith that we have learned. that we have learned.
God. You bring up so many good words. couple of words for me that jumped out was like this faith. And with faith also comes into this concept of trust. And one of the other guests who was on earlier, I asked the question of like, when forgiveness is a concept of letting go, there's also this concept of holding on to something while you let go. And her answer was self-trust. And I'm curious of how self-trust goes into the practice of this self-love.
A lot of times, especially working with people that are experiencing trauma. Being in your body, embodying who you are, embodying your body is really difficult.
Yeah.
So there's a level of trusting that you'll be able to handle what comes up. There's a level of this feels really overwhelming, and instead of shutting down or instead of doing any of the other coping mechanisms or habits or behaviors or patterns that we have done in the past, there's a level of trust that you have to have with yourself that I can handle this as intense as it feels. I got this.
When it feels overwhelming though for clients who feel like that weight of it, is it too soon for them to kind of go through that process, or is there a gauge? I know just even in my own healing practice, there's been times where it feels too much, too soon. And my mind thinks of it in the realm of like strength training, of like, I lifted too much too soon and now I hurt. Is there a path, or is that concept similar to this, what you're referring to?
Yeah, and that's really between the practitioner and the client to really be able to reach that.
Yeah.
There are times where we think that we may not be able to handle it, yet if we're held in brave enough space, I try to get away from saying safe space, but if we're held in brave enough space, we can. And then there are times where it would be too much. So there is a line for that, and it really is between the practitioner to trust themselves.
Going off of that, I know we talk a lot about the embodiment and the emotions within the body. What are some signs for people who are just starting to get into the body when it feels like they're kind of challenging themselves in that realm of diving into this practice of forgiveness and letting go, to where it's almost too much to do? How can they kind of gauge for themselves? Again, my mind goes to weight training, of like they'll grab onto the weight and even try to pick it up right away, and they're like, no, this is too much, and they back up and need to take another step back. What are some of the guidelines that you guys give your clients to kind of have that self-trust and really be
I can start first. Mindfulness is important, being aware of where you are before you even start the practice. If we are in a space of we can't even recognize that we're breathing, we don't even have that anchor to try to do further work. That's an obvious gauge. It's just too much. So really being mindful of the state that you're in,
Totally. And like kind of the analogy that you've been using with weight training, I think you can apply here, like building trust with anybody in relationship, like you kind of, you start small and you build up. And so I think this thing is true for ourselves, and slowly over time increasing the difficulty to the point where like, okay, I got this, I know I can handle this, and you're being held in community or brave space where you're supported in that work. And then of course, like looking at the whole picture, like day to day, ebbs and flows are gonna happen with your social life, with your hormones, with what you've just experienced being out in the world. And so what might be digestible and manageable one day, even, you know, though you've worked up to it, might not be the next, because they just feel weak.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like, exactly. I totally killed this last week. How can I do this today? So I think just like having that mindfulness and that sensitivity and that awareness of, there's so many factors at play.
Yeah.
And we just have to kind of show up for ourselves with our capacity in each moment.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful that you brought up that, because it is true, even with strength training, there's days where I'll have like a great PR, even clients, and then the next day they can't do anything. And it's just like, if
maybe they get enough sleep or anything like that. And the same thing with like the mental and emotional body. Some days we can handle a lot, other days we can't. And I think this is where your point in it comes into play about the grace aspect of giving yourself that self-grace and acknowledging that this is heavy and I can't lift this today, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And being like, today's not the day. I don't know how many times I've mentioned, I've used that in my own practice. Like, today's not the day, but there will be a day.
Yeah, for people who are really, I don't know, like they want to be able to quantify it's for some reason, like how they're feeling, right? Like, feelings are too ethereal for me. I give them like a system from like from 1 to 10. Where is your energy level today? How are you feeling in your body? Like, what is going on with you? And that might be the very first time that day that they went, oh, how am I? Am I tired? What's going on at work? And so typically they'll share a little bit more of what's going on. But I have a really fantastic person that I work with in particular who kind of works out with me first thing in the morning. And on the days when she meditates, before she comes into her appointment, I know she is like so in her body and so set. And on those other days, she seems confused. Like, what's going on today? What are we doing? What are we doing? She's like very reactive to the world rather than proactive. And so at the beginning of the workout, I always try to build that proactive feeling. Like, I'm in charge of this. I get to set what I'm going to do based on what my energy level is. I get to own that and then go from there rather than ever feeling like they have to do something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's no obligation to lift today what you did last week. Like, go based off of how you're feeling today. Yeah.
I know even for my, like, being in the strong force, the kettlebell realm, I put a lot of pressure on myself. I have to be able to lift so much.
Yeah.
How do you help clients let go of, like, expectations of what people think, or their community, or their family? We get a lot of questions with clients, even of just like they want to have like a job change, or they want to take a step back within their career. And then, like, one thing I mentioned, like, it's a breathing year. It's okay to have like a breathing year to give yourself that time of rest to move forward, or and it doesn't matter what other people think, you can make sure you honor them. But how have you helped your clients honor where they're at without that external world enforcing them?
Practice.
Yeah.
Practice. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I love that you mentioned meditation, because I think that's huge, is mindfulness. And I think sometimes we have an idea of what things are. We have an idea of what meditation is, and so we have this adverse reaction to it, or we have an idea of what yoga is, and we really miss the key elements of it. Helps you ask yourself these questions, but how am I actually feeling? What sensations am I feeling? So using mindfulness practices is key, and finding the ones that work for everyone, because we're all different in what works for us. So building that awareness of what you actually feel in your body and connecting it to what you believe, and then asking those questions of, where did that thought come from? Where did that belief come from? And then we start to do some mindset or some belief work around whose beliefs are you carrying with you, and is that true? Could there be another truth somewhere in there? It just really helps differentiating between what's yours and what's not yours. So mindfulness and
you need to
But you bring up a good point about how meditation can be different. And I know you mentioned, I mean, we like to move. We all like to move. Here as we were setting up, we're like, how are we gonna sit in this tight spot? We like to move, right? Even movement can be a meditation. Do you have anything to say? I
don't know.
I
don't honestly remember what I said.
I know.
But for me, I find meditation in so many different ways, and I very much support support anybody in exploring what works for them. And so, you know, obviously one of my favorites is WellRound.
Yes.
That is a way to like very much be in our bodies through sensation and through, just this moment experience and awareness of breath and change that's happening. And I find that that is a very like easy way for folks that maybe have not tried meditation before or have and are a little turned off by it or freaked out by it to get a lot of the benefits that are there in a more traditional meditation practice in another way. And of course, that's not the only way. Like for me today, my meditation was going on a hike and being in nature. And sometimes it's taking a hot bath. Sometimes it's cuddling with my cat. Like meditation is really, you know, my perspective, a single point of awareness that brings us into ourselves in the moment with what is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that can be so many things.
Yeah. Well, my question is just like, do you think meditation is just being in the present moment? You know, like with sitting meditation, your mind can be reeling of just like almost like this detoxification of all the thoughts and just like this dump. But I know when there's been times of for myself just like movement practice of meditation, I think you mentioned before just like how conditions can be meditation. Like, as long as we're fully present in that state, we can create a meditation art to life.
It's a choice, right?
Yeah.
Like staying present and continuing to remake that choice.
And I think that goes into the concept of forgiveness of like, it's a choice. It's a constant choice. It's not one time we just forgive and be like, okay, we're done.
If only.
Right.
Back me up.
What, in your own practices, what has been challenging with forgiveness?
I think the constant, like it's never done, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I have a decent framework for that in terms of all wellness practices, mm-hmm. right? They have to be ongoing. It's not enough to just drink water one day or sleep one night. Like I have to keep doing that. And forgiveness is like that. And I think that because it's so challenging, it's something that I would like to be able to do and be done with,
right?
But I'm not, and it's a lot of times like two steps forward and five steps back, and you know, it's that kind of back and forth, especially, you know, like the oftentimes the people that we're forgiving, like they don't stop offending, or they, you know, they can trigger us in different ways, and those triggers the pain, even though forgiveness has happened.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's just like the ongoing nature of it that is.
Have to agree. Yeah. And it's, for me at least, it's more of like that mental, more meditation awareness of like forgiving that thought. Not necessarily forgiving that person, but forgiving that thought about that past in the mind about that person who did that wrong to me. And freeing my mind up to see that love within that person versus holding that grudge. Do you guys have anything to add to that? Like the mental
being where you are, we were talking about grace for myself, for being in that space, grace for myself for the thoughts that come up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's, I don't know who wrote that quote, but it was like having resentment or like a just like giving someone free like rents in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The more you hold on to it, the more that you just continue to hurt yourself because that person is continuing with their life like completely unaware of how affected you are since like they've moved on after whatever they did. Mm-hmm. But personally, I have a lot of difficulty with, you know, you juggle so many different balls as like an entrepreneur, as a coach, as a friend, as a daughter, as you know, all the different things. And it's not worrying about, oh my gosh, what if I drop one? It's okay, which ones am I going to drop? Mm-hmm. And knowing that we can't be 100% perfect, 100% having grace for that, I think, and then, you know, forgiveness, like, did the best I could with what I had when I had it.
Yeah. Dropping the stories. I don't know about you all, but I'm real good at making up stories in my head. So reminding myself, okay, this is a story, and coming back to presence of what's really going on here, and being able to sit with that, and grace, forgiveness, and all of these things, self-awareness.
That's too good. So my mind thinks of, like, with the fitness aspect, there's been too many times, unfortunately, in my training regimen that I have overtrained and I have to take, like, a big step back. Is there anything like that with forgiveness, of, like, you over forgive and then you get hurt in the process of that?
I think sometimes we think that forgiveness equates to accepting. Forgiveness equates to still having that person in our life and allowing them to do the same thing over and over and over, and they're different. And what was your question again? I'm sorry, I forgot.
It's, can we over forgive in a way that's harmful to ourselves?
So I over forgiveness in that way of not being able to separate forgiveness versus, okay, and now what's the next step? Mm-hmm. Or how can we repair this relationship? And we repair this relationship? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What do I need for me to be able to show up as well as the other person?
I think that's the tricky part aspect of not just forgiving and having that forgiveness be a practice of self-love, but when we have forgiven someone and having that self-respect and making sure it's not necessarily their acceptance of forgiveness, but not tolerating the harm.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're meaning by the acceptance aspect, not accepting the harm that they continue to do, not even realizing it. And you brought up in our last podcast about, like, calling in versus calling out. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit what the calling in is versus the calling out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that confrontation is really hard. Being honest and authentic with one another is something that a lot of us hide from. And I think that there are more, you know, there's more than one way to do that. And that calling out is kind of accusatory and creates separation, whereas calling in is more of an invitation to the conversation and to the experience that I have experienced, and then trying to find space to collaborate within that and to make adjustments, as opposed to, you know, pushing someone away and putting up walls. It's more like, okay, let's, like, look at the situation now and my reality. And of course, it works great if there's a dialogue, and then you can collaborate on, okay, moving forward, the relationship for me to feel healthy and safe and, you know, in my integrity requires this, this, and this. What does it require for you? Let's try this.
When you go ahead. I was going to say, like, unhealthy to me would feel like just blind, like, forgiveness. Like, all the things I just, not wanting to go deep with it. Mm-hmm. And the other one, I think, is having that dialogue and then being like, hey, that's cool, we're fine. Here's my boundary. Just so you know, I'm going to be clear about it. Like, if you ever approach that boundary again, I'm going to let you know, because last time it really hurt me. Like, and setting clear boundaries with people, I think, is important to keep us from that over forgiveness or feeling later, what's the word, like, resentful, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like really important to know that we can forgive without it being like a delete all button. Like, we have to be able to accumulate wisdom and self-care and self-protection tools in a way that are going to work for us moving forward and ultimately for the other person too, right? If there's a maladaptive pattern that is showing up relationally, that is not healthy for either party. And so in creating those boundaries, it can be helpful, I think, for those of us who tend to maybe want to be a little bit too permeable with our boundaries to know that, like, it's also doing that favor.
Yeah. It's almost asking them to level up, like, you know, please respect me or whatever the situation may be, but it's asking, you're setting that standard of this is how I should be treated as a human being. This is how I expect to be treated. I respect you this way, and this is how I treat you. And it's this commonality of self-love and love for other. And I know, Rita, you've talked a lot about codependency. I feel like sometimes codependency, forgiveness can get lucky into codependency. Sometimes in a way that almost brings up playing victimhood. And we ask for forgiveness and we fall into this role of victimhood when asking forgiveness versus giving forgiveness. Do you understand the difference in what I'm saying here? So sometimes with, like, when you ask to be forgiven versus just mentally, that mental self-practice of respecting that other person, mentally knowing that they have forgiven them versus going and seeking forgiveness. And how does that go into play with codependency and forgiveness?
Yeah, I think
that's a lot right there.
I mean, I'm going to have to sit with this for a minute and get my thoughts together on that one.
Okay. I have a thought about what you're talking about. I have a really fantastic coach who was a psychotherapist and related to business. She talks about codependency. She describes it as a tennis court. And there's one person on one side of the court and another person on the other side of the court. One of those ways of asking for forgiveness, you have to stand on your own darn side of the court and just be like, maybe you'll volley that over to me, maybe not. Right? Like, yeah. I just have to live with whatever your choice is. And the other feels like you slammed down your racket, you went over to the other side of the court, and you're like, forgive me now. You know, like, it feels like trying to take ownership over somebody else, or perhaps they're trying to take it from you, rather than allowing you to make that choice of your own free will. Does that?
Yeah, it's an independent thing. Mm-hmm. I think forgiveness is very independent. And when we are sitting with waiting for someone or hoping that someone will forgive us, or do they, for, you know, we're kind of like in this space that is a level of codependency. It's a very personal thing.
Yeah. What's the, I understand what you're saying about like waiting for, like, someone did me wrong and I'm waiting for them to ask. What's the difference, though, of, like, you asking someone for forgiveness? If you recognize someone that you hurt someone, you go and ask for forgiveness. And I only say this just because of my own personal experience. Sometimes when I ask for forgiveness, my mind goes into this victimhood of, well, it's me, versus that mental practice of forgiveness, of just treating them through forgiveness. Does that make sense to
understand my question? I think so. But it's still, to me, it's still very personal. It's still a, this is how I think of it. So I come to you, I've already done my work around forgiveness, and I'm coming to you with grace and with love and openness, humbly. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you choose to forgive me is really out of my
No, I think what you're saying is just not having the expectations of it from the other person. Because I think sometimes with the household that I grew up in, it was like, we're taught we need to go ask for forgiveness, not the person to forgive you. And I think that trains our mind to, when we ask for forgiveness, that we are expecting forgiveness. And sometimes that outcome isn't the case.
Expectation is... We just had this conversation around the dinner table. I got asked a question and I said, yeah. And so the response was, oh, I wasn't expecting you to say yes. And so I say you asked the question with an expectation. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes we go into forgiveness like you said, with this expectation.
Yeah. We're gonna shift gears a little bit. Couple of guests who've been on the show earlier, anger has been like a big theme about forgiveness. Anger can be like a very strong emotion that can spark a lot of good things out of anger. You guys have mentioned a brave space versus a safe space. I don't know if even if this is a question or just a topic that I want to shift gears towards with this concept of forgiveness. I mean, forgiveness is a process of grieving, and anger can sometimes. What's the importance of moving through our anger to grieve to be able to forgive?
These are some heavy questions.
I know. You guys have all been on the toe. You should know I have these heavy questions.
Anger is one of those secondary emotions. Mm-hmm. So it's important to move through it because there's typically something underneath, and a lot of times it's hurt. Mm-hmm. That inner child is needing some love and attention. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes when we sit with the anger, we also have other loneliness comes up sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to know that until we sit with it.
I know for me, anger has lived in my body in a very guarded way. And I think that's where I'm such a fan of like the self-massage tissue work, because when I was water skiing competitively, I needed my body to be healthy and strong. One of the reasons why I kind of fell into that is just a lot of injuries, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I gotta take care of my body. But there'd be so many times where I'd be laying on the floor, rolling out my chest or my hips, and then all of a sudden tears would come, and I didn't really, like, I had no idea. I just thought it was so painful. But now I find myself, there's a lot of times where I know I'll resist that type of practice because I don't want to jump into the emotions of it. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of times, even with leading up to this, I really haven't really marketed it that well, just because doing any type of work with this, I'm like, oh shit, I have a lot of work stuff that I still have to put. And that's it. Just I have it bubbles up a lot of things for me personally.
Yeah.
So, how does anger live within the body? I know it, I think it can live in different ways versus just that muscle hurting.
I'm not answering.
Oh yeah, yeah.
These things are going to enter
interact as well. So it's pretty difficult for me to like turn off that scientific brain and you know, try to say it's like just in one part of the body.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
It manifests.
I mean, it's certainly going to impact things, you know, that maybe we wouldn't think would be associated, like eating disorders or cancer or, you know, overall immunity and health. Like, it's all interconnected. And so, I mean, I think having anger and showing up for it and feeling it and moving through it is an essential process. But, like, anything else that stagnates, if you sit in it too long, it becomes poison, right? And so, it's something that we need to show up for in a really mindful way and like ready to do the work, but not to take on as a lifestyle.
I think the body can give us cues. You know, it is all so interconnected. There are cues that can help us try to like, okay, pinpoint or head into the direction of addressing some of the anger that we've been holding on to, or addressing some of the things that we may have repressed. So doing the body work and really paying attention can open the door to that feeling.
Yeah, you know, I think the emotions that we have, if we're not freely talking about them, if we're not giving ourselves or other people forgiveness, if we're going through frustration and not having moments of like meditation where we allow ourselves to like talk some of those deeper scary things. Like how I view the body is that we just keep pushing things down. We keep pushing things down. And we can recognize those things or that anger bubbling up when all of a sudden it's to the top. And we get frustrated in the car or we or doing something like rolling and all of a sudden tears, or we're doing camel pose and yoga and all of a sudden it's weeping. Whenever we have that quiet moment right before bed or when we're in the shower or when we're like drinking a little coffee and we're like, oh no, like I need to get on my cell phone, I need to talk to somebody, or I need to put on the TV, I need to occupy. I think that those are all very like visceral signs that we need to let go. Do you feel that too?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's so many ways that we can reach for something to meditate on ourselves. And we have to, you know, first make that choice to want to be aware of what those things are and do the work of actually not.
Yeah. And it could be sneaky, I guess. Yeah. You know, I think in the podcast that we did, I talked about how sometimes, you know, I think I'm kind of like an intuitive person, but I just read people well. And once you get to know them pretty well, you're like, something's up with me today, right? So I'll suggest something like, let's slam some ropes. Like, yeah. Let's just do that. Like, let's do some ball slams. And they'll say, well, like, how many? And I'll say, well, as many as you need. And, you know, they start slamming and then it like starts to bubble up and then there could be tears or yelling. And then they get through that, and then they're like, how did you know I needed that? I felt so much better. And I was like, you were just giving me all the signs. You know, I was just reading from you kind of and hoping that I was following you in what you might need today. So I think that sometimes that physical manifestation of what letting it out can be really good.
Go ahead. That's why I think body work and building awareness of being in your body, what sensations actually feel like in your body, like just getting ready to spend time with you, feeling that here and knowing what that feels like and what have I labeled it as before and what would it be. Just having this awareness, having, okay, this is muscle tension, but is it stress or is it I'm tired? So I think it's so important as we work with our clients to build that awareness, because then they know, hey, I need ropes for an hour. You know, then they're able to, okay, I really want to disconnect and this is what's going on and why I want to do that, because we so often just mindlessly disconnect because we don't have this body awareness.
us what it is we actually need. I love that you said, what did I label this as for? That, yeah, you know, like, oh, I'm hungry, or I'm frustrated, or I'm stressed, or like this, you know, this neck pain, I probably just slept weird. It's not like that you're working 70 hours a week and then, you know, we always want to make it like not something that we have to fix. Like, oh, I slept weird, I can't fix that, you know, and digging deeper is really tough. Calling things out for what they really are.
But I think you bring up a really good point. I think so many times we see that, like, just like that surface level, like, oh, I slept wrong. But why did you sleep wrong?
Yeah.
Are you stressed? Are you anxious? You know, and it's really being able to dive into that deeper level of what's keeping you up at night or what's keeping you restless. So I think sometimes you get to let
compartmentalize
too much in our life, and we don't see the interconnection of things and how they have like this ripple effect into the physical being and how the physical being is such a, I'm going to say, an alarm system, but a communication aspect to us of how to really stay true to us.
We wait until we're on our deathbeds or until it's been chronic, and then we go to the doctor about shoulder pain, but it's really not about shoulder pain.
Yeah.
It's really about all of these other emotions and all of these other things and all of these other stressors that we haven't really addressed. Mm-hmm. And here's the
decision. Yes. It doesn't come out of nowhere. Right?
Yeah.
There are so many warning signs. Our bodies are so intelligent and always wanting to communicate with us. Mm-hmm. We just have to learn how to listen and
And I think listening is such an art. What are ways that you help clients to listen to their bodies? I know, like, for me, like, I really just help them find their breath. Like, I mean, we've all mentioned, like, the breath work. But it's a lot of clients who are in movement and they're, like, holding their breath, like, their whole life, like, their life depended on it. And I'm like, yeah, breathe, it's okay. How, or what are some ways that people can learn how to listen to their body? Because we live in a world that, I mean, you can numb that inner voice so quickly.
Yeah. Well, I came from a background in a hospital, kind of working in patient advocacy and telling people, and I continue to tell people, you are the foremost authority on your body and how you feel in your body. And when people come to me and they're like, just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do.
Yep.
fix it. I'm like, that would be awesome. And I would be a millionaire if I could like tell you that. But it's really like the deeper work. So I do little reminders on a daily basis. Like, what is your energy level from 1 to 10? How are you feeling in your body today? What's going on with you? What's up? And then, you know, during the warm up or something like that, I just try to dig kind of deeper and try to ask the right questions to help them make the connection about what's going on in their life. So I try not to give a lot of like advice. It's just questions. I'm just curious. And then all of a sudden there's those light bulb moments of like, oh, you know what? I just realized you only slept 5 hours a night for the last 3 nights. Maybe that's why I don't feel so great and I don't have a ton of energy. So helping them make connections about things that they're doing and then the result, how they're feeling. And I think that that helps them just be a little bit more in touch with their body.
I
echo
that.
I
think so much of it is asking questions that people wouldn't normally think to ask of their experience and of their body. And that just really opens that inner dialogue for them to self-explore and to start to build knowledge and understanding and trust within themselves, because, you know, ultimately, as someone working in the wellness industry, I don't consider myself a teacher or a healer, but really just someone that tries to like pass the baton of like curiosity and like self-empowerment.
I love that you mentioned that. That's every single session, no matter how many times I've seen it, that's my first reminder to them.
is I don't have your answers. I'm here to facilitate. I'm here to hold space for you, but I'm not here to give you answers. I love that you mentioned that.
I think that related.
Soaking up good information.
Related and helping people connect with their bodies.
Yeah. Is often people come in with goals that are like really far outside of themselves. And I always try to tie them back to intrinsic goals. Mm-hmm. Like, what is your deep down thing that if you didn't make that thing or you didn't do that thing, like you wouldn't be able to live with yourself. I think that's like an intrinsic goal is like that deep. It's not like, oh, I want to look like this for my 20-year high school reunion. Like, why?
Why?
Because of other people, that's extrinsic. We want to go for an intrinsic goal. And the question of like, why? why? All of a sudden they're like, I just want to be able to put my grandson on my shoulders. Or I just want to be able to like carry all the groceries in at one time. Like, you know, it's totally different from what they think. And I think that helps them to connect with their body a lot more.
What do we do to help clients connect with their bodies? Yeah. So funny enough, my clients actually aren't calling me to connect with the body. They're calling me because they're like, I have all this crap going on in my relationship, or I hate my job, or, you know, things like that. So one of the things that I like to do, and we use this in somatic experiencing, is to just call out, like, notice what that feels like. Mm-hmm. So as we're talking and we're just talking about what happened that triggered you or got you upset or what was the argument about. So as I'm listening and I'm watching and I'm tracking, I'm also noticing changes happening and the client's body. So I'm calling their attention to it because more than likely they don't have attention to that. So I'm just saying, hey, notice you're breathing right now. Or, hey, do you feel yourself in your seat right now? What is that feel like? What do your feet feel like on the ground right now? So just notice that. Does it have a color? Does it have a shape? What sensations are you feeling? That's it, just outside of breath work. That's mm-hmm. something that I found really helps to build awareness. Mm-hmm. Being in the body is who we are.
Real quick, for those who may not be familiar or know what somatic healing is, can you just give us a little definition of what that is?
It is body-based trauma therapy that works with the autonomic nervous system. And it's under the premise that often the trauma that we hold in our bodies is because we've been activated into flight, freeze, or fawn, but we haven't been able to actually complete the cycle. And so that is housed in different ways, and sometimes they're not related. We may not realize that driving down a certain road is related to something that happened when you were three. So it's helping to complete that cycle so that you're not as activated, you're aware of what's happening in your body, and just really helps you build this relationship with your body again, because oftentimes when we've been through trauma, we have this disconnection or this break in self and how we show up in our body, how we show up as ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Going back to anger, I know there's been times in my life, and even with some clients, I have seen waves of anger, and they've kind of learned how to like go through that. I know you mentioned not living from a place of anger, but I think there's a lot, even changes can create anger, like a change of a living environment, a change in a career. How can anger be healthy, and how can we almost like invite anger to be present within ourselves to allow us to move forward?
I'll just speak from personal experience. Yeah. Like, went through a horrible experience, and in that experience, someone said to me, "You'll never amount to anything." Like that was like how to cap it off. Like did horrible things, and by the way, it'll never amount to anything. And my response was like, "Watch me." And I went and I did everything and I did it twice. You know what I mean? Like I used it as fuel,
yeah,
and tried to shift it into something that was positive. You know, like you don't know me, you can't judge me. Like I feel your rage and like whatever, I'm done with you. Here's how I'm going to use that energy that you gave me and allow it to power me through something good. So and then that ran out, and then I was like, oh, okay, got that.
No, it's funny that you bring it up like that, because there's been times when I used to water ski competitively, will be like the lakes that we competed at were out in the farmland in Eastern Washington, and we'd be at the end of the day, so the guys would be like, you need to get angry if you can ski well tomorrow. Like, there's like, we would like entice each other so much sometimes, because that anger does fuel you sometimes to do better.
Yeah, I think it just gives you a different perspective. I think that's what it did for me. So I was like, I could let this ruin me. I could let like those words and those actions were so hateful that there are a lot of people in this world that would be like, all right, I'm going to pack it in because I never want to come up against that again. And I was like, nope, I'm not going to let it break me because they're going to win. I'm going to go and I'm going to continue to do the things that I wanted to do, and I'm going to be that much better. Like, what is it? The best revenge is the life well lived. That was where I was at. You know, I'm just going to keep pushing forward. I'm just going to keep doing the things that I want to do. And it just helped to fuel that.
So I'm curious. I know you're asking the questions, Anna, but I'm just really curious how to differentiate between using anger to fuel you to move forward and then using that anger and self-loathing or holding it within.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question to realize. I think anger, you have to realize when you're angry about something, if you're passionate about it, like you want. At least when I go back to my mind of like when I used to watch competitively, like I wanted to speak, so I knew I had the capability of progressing to whatever level I was looking for at that time. And moments or things that didn't allow me to, example, someone didn't give me the right vote plank when I was skiing in a competition right before the regional. I was furious because my points were down because of that. I think there's anger can be different to answer your question. I think anger, you have to recognize when the anger, you get angry about something that you're passionate about. Like you'll get angry at something when someone hurts or harms your kid. Like you protect things that you most value. So like with your story, you valued yourself so much. You allowed yourself to feel that anger to progress yourself.
And like my dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you are trying to jeopardize through your words and actions my thing. And I was just like, oh no. Like I'm not a mama, but it was mama bear.
So I think what can be tricky about anger is when we do self. And I think that's going back to similar to some of the work that you do, because there have been times in my life where I did an exercise that was I probably shouldn't have done, that was too much on my body at the time, realizing that it was stemming from something else, like wanting to get that approval or that Adderall from my dad, you know, or something like that. So I think you have to, there's a different emotion. Or a different route, if I can say it that way, with anger.
Level of awareness.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's that anger of passion, but there's that anger too. And recognizing the difference, I think, can be very tricky. I think when anger is out of protection for something, it's out of that love and passion. When anger can be very deadly, I think it's when we don't allow the mourning of something that we have lost. And I think you mentioned earlier that mourning and allowing us to really mourn the wounded person.
Can I answer your question? That's great. Yeah, you can answer your questions too. Anything else?
I just like what you were saying about diverse people. I think that's a really great way to look at it. It's like it is like lots of energy with tons of potential, and it seems to be like utilized and like directed in a really like positive way. And definitely not inward.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like to tie it all together, what we were talking about earlier, there's one where you're like, you're not knowing and you just keep stuffing it down, right? Mm-hmm. That bubbles out. That feels like bad like anger. You're not recognizing those things as they pop up in your life or why you're feeling the way you're feeling. And, you know, in my life, that has led to things like depression or anxiety or, you know, things that bubble up and I'm like, I have no idea why I'm feeling this. And like, really, really. But then other things where it was like an acute moment of getting hurt, getting angry, and then deciding to pivot and like do something different, you know? So I think, you know, like the work that you do with people and like in somatic healing probably helps so much with those like unresolved things that you might not even know about. They're buried in the body.
But just labeling, I think as a society, we think anger is bad. Right. Don't be angry. Yeah. Shove your anger down and smile. And anger is just one of many things that we all experience at different.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, for women especially, like, that's an emotion that isn't pretty and gets shut down, I think, is not acceptable for a woman to feel and express anger. And oftentimes, like, I've had a hard time even recognizing, like, when I'm angry or that I'm angry, I think I'm sad or I'm frustrated or something that's not actually what it is.
And when we can't openly acknowledge and say I'm angry, then there's shame and guilt and all of these other things that get tied into it because of these stories and these labels that we.
I know for myself, there's been like the mourning aspect of anger. I've talked about this a lot at the beginning of the show of breaking glass and how it's kind of shattered within my life of like waking up and realizing either. The more attuned I have been within my own eating practice, like when I'm really angry or really sad, like, I'll go for food for comfort. But it's that concept of I need a break. There's that concept of I need to have this release almost. And then I guess this goes back into like the physical aspect of wanting and wanting in a way that's very physical. And I know, again, in our society, that aspect is not very looked upon at all. Do you have anything to add about like, the breaking glass or like that concept of like, I'm angry because it's broken in a way that I never thought of?
I love just the physical. I'm with you. I like being physical. Yeah. Anger and a lot of the other like grief, it can be really big.
Yeah.
Powerful. Full of so much energy and momentum behind it. Mm-hmm. So I have been in spaces where I had to get physical in order to really work through and release all of that had been bound up within me. Yeah, I'm like, go to the gym, let's like break shit and like, I'm all about it.
100%, right? I totally Bob and Mike also and I typically encourage myself, like I've taken a really hard, you know, boxing class or lifted some heavy weights. That's what I can like get underneath the anger and actually kind of see like it for what it is and like what has been, you know, accumulating and created this overall. We started our session today by dancing.
Yeah!
That has been like hugely therapeutic for
last year, and it was boxing and dance groups that like got me through it.
But I think there's sometimes for morning, it's too soon to speak of it, and we just gotta feel it and move through it, like physically move through it. I know there's been many times in my life, and even with the clients that I work with, like you don't have to think about it, you can just move through it, and it's making me feel here. Like that's people like so easy. Like, I don't need to know your story.
I love that you say that. Yeah. I don't always need to know your story about your trauma in order to help heal and work through
it.
I've had clients where I don't know what happened to them.
Yeah.
They never spoke about it. They hinted at it.
Yeah.
But at the end of our time together, they are totally different and they've been able to work through it. And I have no idea. I don't need to know.
Yeah. And I think that's people who work here helping improve within the physical body is just helping making sure we can get from point A to point B. And however the journey goes, is that they kind of determine that, I believe. Of just like how much they're willing to put it in. And we just my goal again. Just like you said, it's giving it to point B.
Also, on Lake City Way, there's a big
raid. Yes.
I've been wanting to go to this.
Where you can just like, snatch all the things.
We should
and,
have a sleigh
date. Oh my gosh. Do you know what? No, like, I hear you, right? Like anger is not pretty. And our society is like, you're a B if you, like, oh, you're too sensitive. Oh, you're too whatever. So even going into this place, Rage Industries, little shout out, I go in.
We'll put it in the show notes.
And they're like, here's like a little like milk crate. You can pick out the things you want to smash. And they're like, ooh. And then I was like, oh, well, like timid, the small things, you know, just put a couple things in there. And then I'm like putting on a full bodysuit and like a helmet. And I'm like, This is silly. It'll be done in like 2 minutes. I have this. Oh, like a half an hour in there. Like a half an hour.
Places to go.
And I came out and I was like, I'm not a violent person. Like I'm a catch and release the spiders from my house kind of person. You know, like but it was so good with these like inanimate objects.
Yeah.
You know, to just let off some steam in a way that I felt was like acceptable and private and nobody was like, you're throwing that like a girl. You know what I mean? Like it was no judgment. And that felt awesome to let it go. But same thing at my gym. I've just been in there boxing for an hour, you know, until I'm like so tuckered out and let off all that steam. So then I could just be with my thoughts. But I mean, you could do the same thing in yoga. Like take a yoga class. And then sit for meditation, you know, be with yourself that way. So it doesn't have to be throwing.
It is true because
that's a bonus.
Yeah,
a bonus.
You know, I've been mirror-ended a couple of times 2 years ago and everything. And I think for yoga, that's like the only way I've been able to release my anger is because I can't work off the same intensity. I can't because then I just trigger more injuries. So I think you bring up a really good point. It doesn't have to be the typical type of anger to release. I know a lot of times I have to go for like hours for a walk. That's it. Like just whatever is able to get that, you know what you want to call that fuel or that energy out. So you're not taking it out on people. It's so vital.
Communication. I am totally so my partner. Nur and I, we've had so many times where we've had an argument, and then I recognize I'm angry, and I'll just leave.
Yeah.
And so for me, I just need that.
Yeah.
And I'll just be gone for hours. And so we've had to have communication because he's like, I didn't know if you were coming back. And I'm like, don't worry. I just like grab my stuff and I leave. But it's because that's how I needed to process. But I also needed to have that communication with him. I'm angry and I'm not ready to talk about it right now. I need to go process. And then go walk for however long. Sometimes it's hours.
Yeah.
And then I have my thoughts together and I can come back and articulate it. But sometimes in the heat of these emotions, the anger, the hurt, the guilt, or whatever, it's sometimes the language part of our brain, especially if it's
triggered a past trauma, it literally will shut down. So we can't articulate one point until we're able to calm down and ground and be.
I think like what you're speaking to for me is clarity, right?
Yeah.
So, like we need to kind of move through some of like, the chaos and the clutter that can come up within anger and like how our body processes that before we can actually like be our most like logical selves and be able to piece apart like, okay, well this actually came from this person and that's mine and that was from when I was 5 and like, okay, now we can talk.
I thought I forgave that and now it's back again. Okay, yeah.
Do you think the clarity aspect that you just brought up is also true for the grieving process?
Yeah,
so like that there's times where like I can't even articulate the sadness and I'm going through. So I have to go and ground myself. I have to do a yoga practice, a journaling, just breath work or that walk aspect. And then I get clarity of why I'm why is that wave of emotion? And being able to voice like this is why I'm in this like melancholy state. You find that to be true as well with the sadness.
Totally. I mean, I think like our bodies hold so much wisdom for us, and like we can't always access it just by sitting there and thinking about it, right? Like a lot of times we actually have to stop thinking about it and do something different with our bodies, and it will come when it's ready to come. Like that clarity comes in its own time. Like there are tools and practices that I think we all know about that can help us and that we can reach for, but yeah, it's not going to show up. That's fine.
Yeah, no, and I think that's what you bring up is the practice of honoring our bodies, not rushing for us to get to the answers. It's that endpoint of like, I should be here by now, but just really honoring the process of where we're at throughout that healing process, even if it's that physical stuff.
Yeah, and like allowing for ebb and flow. Organic beings are not linear, as much as I would like that in my type A personality. Like that's not how it goes. And like grief is like that, anger is like that, forgiveness is like that. Like it's gonna show up in different ways at different times. And I think like tying in what we talk about the practice of mindfulness is so key in order to be able to show up for ourselves really well. As it continues to happen.
I was going to add, because we haven't talked about it yet, but I think that there is value in creating some sort of a practice where we are making space for ourselves, whether that's a morning practice, which I think you have.
Sometimes sitting down, having coffee,
creating space, and and you may not have a revelation every day, or maybe even every month, but like just creating for your space a brave, receptacle for all those thoughts or things to kind of come to you. I think there's great value in that, and sometimes stuff bubbles up, and it comes out in those moments, and I find that I'd rather it come out in that moment than like being triggered by a client's pain and then talking about it or
standing in line at the grocery store.
I just read the cover of In Style and like it touched me. Yes, exactly that. So it's like building in time and space. Just because even if it doesn't bring like miraculous things into your life or whatever. Just creating that, I think, is like an act of grace and love for ourselves.
With no expectations.
Yeah.
I know for many years I had my morning coffee with this expectation that this is what I'm getting out of it. It's like, I'm doing this because this is my foundation and this is what helps me. To me, and I don't need to get anything out of it just other than being in this.
Yeah.
And if you did,
like a very specific goal you're accomplishing.
My very specific is that at the end of this, my body will have coffee in it.
Yeah.
It will have coffee. Right. How about you?
Well, I was just gonna say, like, I can work this for myself. This is preventative, right?
Yeah.
It's preventative self-care. Like, it doesn't have to be like treating something that's wrong, or you know, like again, like having a big manifestation every time. Like, I'm showing up because by showing up, I'm just taking better care, you know?
Yeah. Well, and even, I mean, I think we mentioned this before, of like being that mindful or like that meditation practice brings you into that present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so even for clients who are able to practice that meditation, they're able to be present for themselves, for their family, for their coworkers. It just allows more of that full awareness in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for myself, like moments, yeah, when I have had that morning meditations or the evening practices,
yeah.
I can definitely tell by the end of the week, I'm like, just happened to be like, versus being that proactive aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's beneficial for everyone, not just for people who work with other people and improving
mm-hmm.
their health. It's that it allows. I guess the word that comes to my mind is so much harmony almost within yourself.
Yeah. I used to be way back when, don't judge me, a person who would like set the alarm clock for like the very last second and then like fly out of bed and then everything was happening to me,
mm-hmm.
at me. Like, why is this not working? And this is, I'm like, coat just got stuck on the door, and then like I get in the car and I'm like, it's on empty, and then I was like, why am I doing this or causing this to myself? So I think that having some sort of a buffer in the morning or whatever time of day you want to have it, where you just get to build that time in for yourself, is really beneficial. But I also believe, I think we talked before about that, it's not all or nothing.
Yeah,
it's not all or nothing. Like, there are varying degrees of like self-care and what that can look like for people.
Forgiveness.
Yes!
Forgiveness for ourselves, and like we don't show up for that like self-care.
Yeah. That's
huge.
Yeah.
There can be some kind of funny things that can happen around like utility and expectations.
Mm-hmm.
That can pile up to guilt and all sorts of things that are very
common. We do show up, only it doesn't look like what we thought.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're going to be wrapping it up, but I'm going to ask one final question for each of you, and that is, where do you think forgiveness is within the body?
Where do I think forgiveness?
I don't know that there's a blanket answer.
Mm-hmm.
I think forgiveness lives wherever you allow it to live in your body. For some people, that may be neck, shoulders, throat.
Mm-hmm.
For some, it may be in their gut. Some, it may be in their back. It really just depends on the person.
I don't think I can answer that any better than you just did. Like, I mean, pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can live anywhere and everywhere, but there's space for it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd have to go with that too. I mean, I think like our pain body lives so many different places, and maybe forgiveness lives for you in the place where you were hurt.
Yeah. I would have to echo off of that. I think that whoever we internalize that hurt within our body, it's really interesting having another guest on this year compared to last year. Where forgiveness is in their body versus what they think of it as a relation is considered how they were hurt, but also how they were this process of forgiveness. So it's really interesting how to feel different parts of the body with that. So, yeah.
Anything else you guys would like to share as we end this?
Thank you so much for doing this. Yeah,
this is fun.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. You may find us at, what's that place called? Rage?
Rage Industry.
Rage Industry.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you could do like a live video for me.
Well, Strong Ones, if you are watching live, thank you so much for the support. If you're listening, thank you as well. You can watch the live video down in the show notes, and then we will have everyone's website in the show notes, along with the Rage Industry. But this is also kicking off the Mind Mobility. Tomorrow is the first day. I may bring it out to Wednesday so we can get a little bit more time to sign up. Mind Mobility is all about learning how to use the Live Well Round yoga therapy balls that Betsy has designed, but at the same time, creating stability within our joints. So not only are we opening up, but we're creating strength with that. And then along with that, you will be getting, and so you'll get that in the like how-to videos. And then from there, you'll get daily emails from me of what does it mean to have that open mindset through this process of forgiveness and the interconnection between our mind and body. That goal may start tomorrow, most likely on Wednesday. So link is in the bio, so make sure you sign up. Other than that, thank you again for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it out with your family and friends. And to help grow the show, give us a 5 stars and a comment below. And that, we're peace out until next week.
Hey, Strong Ones, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I am super excited to invite you to my private Facebook group where we will be able to continue the conversations from these episodes. I'll share you my wisdom and knowledge about the artistic tool, the kettlebell, and other insights on how to live a healthy and whole life. Click the link below. And if you haven't yet, please leave a review with the 5 stars. It'll help grow the show and spread this wisdom and knowledge of how to live a healthy and whole life to other people who may need it as well. Blessings on your journey, and I look forward to connecting to you on Facebook.